Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to talk about interfacings.
And
how we don't use them.
I would just like to bring this up. Interfacings are boring. I want to sew with sparkles and beads and jewels and shiny stuff. But if you don't have that interfacing, your sparkle and your beads and your shiny stuff aren't going to look right.
Maybe. Or you could use something else.
It's just like the foundation on anything, you know. Like, usually your foundation to your house, your basement walls aren't that great, but
Mom,
the sparkly stuff comes later.
You don't have to justify this episode to people because so many people have requested it. Okay. So people are excited about it.
But what I'm saying is interfacing is boring.
All right. Well, first off, I'm going to do a little disclaimer here. ZD and I actually do not use interfacing.
Commercial interfacing
a lot.
We do interface.
An interfacing product.
We're interfacing as we speak. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me.
We're going to tell you about interfacing, though. And we're going to tell you what we do. So I'm not it's not like end of episode. We don't use interfacing. Ha ha. We won't explain ourselves. But
we realize things need to be interfaced.
Okay. So, yes, we realize things need to be interfaced. So interfacing is, like, in the history of sewing, since we've been sewing since before
before time.
Yes, Zeta before time.
I was sewing when needles were made out of stone.
No,
made out of bird bone.
When I meant I did mean, like, the human race. If people have listened to the podcast for a while, or I don't know where I mentioned this, but there is a podcast called The History of the English Language.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the Proto-Indo-European language has a word for sewing, okay?
Yes.
It doesn't have a word for some other things that are common in many of our lives now, you know, that you'd be surprised maybe that it didn't have a word for, but sewing was in there, you know, so I thought that was cool.
Well, and, you know, initially sewing was like you did take the bone or the rock and you pierced the animal skin. And then you took like its guts and that was your thread and you threaded pieces of the animal skin together to fit around your body or
and
whatever.
And there was no interfacing.
There was no interfacing.
All right. So these interfacing products, though, that we're talking about, that people have all these questions about, they are that. They are products that have been invented in I don't know when the first interfacing came out, but like.
Boy, I don't either, but you
last
know.
Last century.
Okay. So I've been sewing. Let's say since 1965.
Okay.
Okay. Like, really with the sewing machine and everything. And they were around then. Like the papery products, the non-woven Pellon type. Pellon's a trade name, but those types, they were around.
Okay. So these are products that are not fabric. And what
and
are
actually,
they?
Actually, I think most of them are paper.
No, but like, why are we using them? Why do interfacings
because
exist?
Because we wanted stiffness. You use an interfacing to give yourself some sort of support, some sort of foundation for someplace in the garment, whether it be, you know, in a pad for a shoulder or a collar or a placket that buttons go on, or can you think of something else?
Collars really, for collars some reason, really stand out, right? Cuffs, I think of those things.
I think of shoulder pad type things, okay. You know.
Yeah, lapels, things of that.
Waistbands get interfaced. Any sort of band, I guess, or placket tends to get interfaced so that there's a, you know, what I guess stiffness is the word I want. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's kind of funny because we've also gotten away from a lot of that in our garments.
Yeah, this is...
You know, things are less structured looking.
Okay, so this is why I think this has sort of become a bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
Okay.
I you know, very few things that you buy ready to wear, if you took them apart, you wouldn't even find, you would not find an interfacing.
And we're wearing a lot of knits nowadays. So,
well, right.
And interfacing is something that generally stays in the garment forever.
Yes.
Or it should.
Well, as far as I know, it does. You would never take an interfacing out for any particular reason.
I just meant that it
reason.
Would fall apart. And
well, it does. They will rot.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So since these interfacings...
But you know, we don't even keep clothes long enough to rot anymore.
There you go. So these interfacings are supposed to add oomph to your fabric. And
right.
There are lots of different weights and drapes, stiffnesses.
There's even different colors.
Colors. And... interfacings that either are fusible, so they have a heat-activated glue.
They call them
glue.
Sew-in or fusible.
So non-fusible and fusible, or sew-in and fusible. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So where you wouldn't have that. So what's really wonderful, I think what can be attractive about a fusible interfacing is that, you know, you can apply it to your fabric and it stays there.
Right.
While you're constructing your garment.
It basically becomes one piece then.
Yes.
And you're not fooling with it, keeping it together or...
The different
you
types
You have fused
of,
it to the one piece.
Yeah, and then beyond that, the different types of interfacings might have a different feel. There are...
Weight.
Different... there's knit interfacings.
Yes.
That are softer. They can actually feel a bit
yes.
like knit.
Yes.
They're like a tricot.
Right.
Okay. Interfacing. But don't let this term... interfacing really like intimidate you, okay? Like you go up and you feel it and you can be like, good for my garment, not good for my garment. Of course, if you're ordering online, this is more complicated, but it's not like you go up to a bolt of interfacing and it's going to change into something else overnight or something like that. I think people are really...
What do you mean by that statement?
I think that people are very confused when they just go to the interfacing aisle. They get intimidated and overwhelmed. You can go up and touch it. It's like picking out fabric.
Yes,
okay?
It is.
It's like picking out... They are you know, products to be used with your fabric.
It's not, it may not be as strange as you think.
Yes. I really think that some people are like,
well, yeah, and there's other things
you know,
that... are interfacing, i.e. stiffening, like horsehair products, things like that. So, you know, those would sort of have to be in that category. But those would be for hems, right?
Yeah, yeah, you absolutely.
Know.
So we...
Oh, lapels, which is also kind of a collar.
I said lapels earlier.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
That always
you.
Comes up for
I
me.
Didn't know you did.
So in our practice, our sewing practice, people like to say the word practice nowadays.
Because we're practicing for sure. Yeah.
So in our practice of sewing, we don't use a lot of these interfacings.
Correct.
Now, we make button-up shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We make skirts with waistbands. I make jeans.
You're wearing one.
I'm wearing a collared shirt dress right now.
Right, with a
very,
placket down the
very
front.
Very long placket.
Button-up placket down the front.
It's very long.
Do you have anything in the shoulders of that?
I don't.
Okay.
I could have. They
yeah,
said,
I just wondered.
They said you could
yeah.
have. Yeah, that's a good question. We also make, I had something else in my, blazers with lapels.
Lapels.
Okay, so we do make these things, and we don't use interfacing personally. So we.
Well, wait a minute. You say you don't use interfacing. You mean you're putting nothing in there?
I don't use an interfacing product.
Right.
Okay.
But you do use an interfacing. You just don't use a product that is commercially labeled interfacing.
Okay.
Let's be clear here. Let's not confuse
them. That's
Something
great.
Does go in there to beef it up.
Yeah. So earlier I asked Mom, why are we using these products?
Right.
We're beefing things up. We're helping things like collars and lapels hold their shape.
Keep a shape.
Support the repeated use of buttons and buttonholes, snaps, things like that. That's what we're doing. interfacing products should not have the monopoly on this job. Okay.
And they don't in our house.
And they don't in our house.
In our studio. In our studio.
So I just want to say, we know what interfacings are supposed to do. And I think after this message break, let's talk about some specific situations where interfacing might be suggested. And let's talk about what we, an interfacing
product. What we
product,
would do personally.
Yeah. Excuse me. An interfacing product might be suggested. And yet what we would do personally.
Okay.
Okay.
Tell me all about your dream come true wardrobe planner.
I have been dreaming about creating a wardrobe planner for years.
Oh, no. Since you were like 8 and started drawing with crayons.
Yes. I love to sew, and I love to write with paper products and pens and everything. And we have published a wardrobe planner. We have a couple of different options on our website. There is a universal wardrobe planner that you can purchase for $19.99 and print over and over again. It'll help you plan any project you wish. And then we also have themed wardrobe planners. And do you know what's special about those, Mom? What's special?
What?
They include some hand-drawn illustrations by yours truly for whatever we're doing in the self-sewn wardrobe group that month, like PJs or underwear or our month of planning.
Because we theme our months.
Yes, so you can tackle a new wardrobe section each month in order to build your perfect self-sewn wardrobe. So for more information about these, you can go to sewhere.com/planner and also check out the membership options, because the universal wardrobe planner is included with the backstitch and straight stitch and zigzag memberships. So go to sewhere.com/planner.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
So let's start out with the simplest or most straightforward situation. I'm going to make a woven collared button-up shirt.
You have cuffs, you have a button placket, and you have a collar
and
that I think might need some beefing up.
This fabric has no stretch in it.
Okay,
to clarify.
It would be a woven.
Yep, just a woven, just plain woven fabric. And even if it's like I'm wearing lightweight denim here.
Uh-huh. That's pretty lightweight, too.
It's very thin. But even if I was going to make this out of a thicker fabric, mm-hmm. I would still want to beef up the right. collar, the cuffs, and the button placket, like you just said. What have you taught me to use?
Well, we're big on cotton organdy.
Cotton organdy.
That would probably always be my first. It is. It's my first go-to.
Characteristics of cotton organdy, please, Mom.
It's pre-shrunk.
Got it?
It's stiff. It actually comes in more than one stiffness. We usually buy it in the medium. We have it in the medium. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Because if you need less than that, then you probably don't need anything. And if you need more than that, you use two layers.
Right.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. So it's rather thin, you know, in terms of fabrics.
Well,
right?
I like the idea that you can see through it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can read through mm-hmm, it almost. Mm-hmm, maybe. Mm-hmm. Can you read through it?
I think. Well, I can.
You can see the grid of the cutting mat
through
it.
Yeah. You can see the cutting
mat. It's great to cut.
Yeah.
It's so easy to cut.
And it has a stiffener in it.
Yes.
Which, when you wash the garment, that stiffener, of course, gets
soft
again. But as soon as you iron it, it will come back to its
yes
stiffness.
So we would use cotton organdy here. Whereas on my pattern, on the pattern I used to make this shirt dress, it told me to use a fusible interfacing.
It said fusible.
Okay. I think so.
Well, and here, most things are going to say fusible, I think, because I believe that most pattern makers think that a fusible will be more successful for people.
Yeah, I think
that it's easier to handle.
Yeah.
Okay. I can make my cotton organdy fusible if you'd like me to.
How can you make your cotton organdy fusible?
So I would use an embroidery tacky spray, right? That is, it's not permanent.
Right.
It's especially not permanent once I wash my garment. There's all kinds of products like
and
that.
And I'm going to name two, okay? Because I think this is important.
Yeah.
We like MSA 1000. This is a Madeira product. And we like Sulky KK 2000. I'm pretty sure those are the letters.
That's the right numbers.
Yeah.
Well, Sulky's good and Madeira's good.
Okay, these
and they will say.
Yeah.
They will say that they are not permanent. They will say, so, and you don't need permanent because you're going to sew this in. It's going to be sewn in eventually. It's going to be caught in the seams, the seam line. So you don't need permanent. You don't want permanent. You would like that glue to go away.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I'm going to want my cotton organdy on my collars and my cuffs and my button placket. How should I make sure that they're the same shape as my pattern pieces?
You cut your pattern pieces out at the same time. So I'm going to lay down my collar, and I probably need two sides, right?
Yeah.
So I've got right sides to right sides on my collar. Hopefully my under collar's on the bias.
Yes.
That's another podcast.
Different episode.
It's in an episode somewhere. And then I have my cotton organdy somewhere in that layering because I'm cutting it all at the same time. And of course I use a rotary cutter. And I will tell you.
What will you tell me?
I watched a couple of what was I waiting for? I was in some office, doctor's office. When I'm on the doctor's office, I like what do? I stalk other sewers.
Yeah.
And their YouTube videos.
CD's judging you.
Yes. And I was so happy that I stalked like three different people, okay, who said rotary cutter when
boop,
cutting
boop.
Out a garment
boop, boop.
That you don't get little snags. You don't, you know, it's the best. Somebody said it's the best way to cut knits.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because you're not lifting anything up and down and all. Oh. I mean, so anyway.
So were you just like, amen?
Yeah.
You
I
know,
was like,
I
it's time
you,
to catch up.
I have to tell you, that's not where I thought the story was going.
Well, and I have to tell you, people, I hear people say rotary cutting revolutionized the quilting industry.
Yeah.
Well, personally, I think 1976 revolutionized the quilting
The bicentennial.
But, yes, the bicentennial.
Of
but
work,
my first rotary cutter was purchased from a store to do garments.
Yes.
And it was one of those 18-inchers. The
18 millimeters.
18 millimeters. I'm sorry. I said
oh my
inches.
God.
I didn't mean to say inches.
18-inch.
Yeah, I was holding up my hand. You know, it's the size of a quarter
okay,
or a half
dollar.
Okay,
I don't want to get too far off
right.
of this, okay?
But what I'm saying is, that's what they're there for, and they work. So
okay.
This is how I'm cutting out my interfacing.
Okay. Your what?
My interfacing.
Oh, there we
which
are.
which is not a commercial interfacing. It is my cotton organdy.
Yeah, so I'm using cotton organdy as an interfacing. This gives me oomph, okay? It gives me the stiffness. Also, this is where we're avoiding the pitfalls of, you know, interfacing products.
Right.
They can be non-woven. They can be fusible. You fuse them. You sew them. You launder. You wear and care for your garment. And these products can disintegrate.
They will pull away.
They'll pull away.
They will disintegrate.
The glue
will
be reactivated.
It can reactivate and give you scrunchies or wrinkles
or
crackles.
Okay, so it'll reactivate.
Right.
It'll come away from your fabric.
Because, okay, so the heat. Yeah,
let me.
Let her.
I got there first, Mom. I got to this. This
feel
is what,
free.
This is what Mom wants to say to you.
I'm laying back.
This is what Mom wants to say
I'm
to you.
I'm going
to
lay back and listen. You can do that too.
Mom wants to say that the glue is activated by heat. That's what fused it to your fabric in the first place. That is what will release it. This can be useful information if you're ever fusing something and you want to replace it. Rewarming it should help you move it.
It'll help you take it off, right?
Take it off, move it, whatever. And so anyway, the glue can be reactivated, come away from your fabric, remain tacky, and then restick in the wrong place.
That's right.
Or can bubble, or can whatever.
Stick to itself.
Oh, that's
awful. You're dead. You're dead if it stuck to itself. It's over. It's all over. Oh, you got lumps.
It's the skull emoji. Okay. It's dead. Dead.
Dead.
Heather Lou mentioned that she, like, made one of her, she's got a collared shirt, the Cali shirt, and she was like, I used a funeral interfacing in this collar, and I'm very unhappy because it, you know, I worked real hard on this shirt, and then it got all screwed up.
Right.
You know? So, that's what I'm avoiding with the cotton organdy. Now, I washed this button-up collared shirt dress that I'm wearing, and then I do have to press it. Okay, before I wear it, if I want it to look nice,
people tend to ask that question, and you will be pressing it no matter what kind of interfacing you use.
Yes,
but what I'm telling you is the cotton organdy will press up nice.
Oh, it presses up real nice.
That's right.
Actually,
sometimes you can get by with just doing your collar and your placket.
Yeah, you know. I must say I did not press this today before I wore it.
It actually looks fine.
Well, what I did was I washed it and I got it out and hung it up. I didn't put it in the dryer.
Right.
And
I put it in the dryer for a few seconds and then I really kind of flatten it out and everything and put it on a hanger.
I like finger pressed my collar when I put it on the hanger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so then it set that way. It didn't get wrinkled up in the dryer as it was drying. Yeah. So there's my woven garment. It's getting the cotton organdy interfacing treatment.
Right.
I have not, purchased any other interfacing, okay, to use in this. Like, literally, all I use is cotton organdy. So, before we move on to a different fabric structure, fiber content, etc., I just want to say that if you're using, like, a sheer woven, you can use an organza, either a polyester or a silk organza.
You can actually use a tool.
A tool?
Mm-hmm.
If you are
think of sheer fabrics.
If you're doing a woven garment and you have just absolutely nothing else in the house, you might be able to use just another layer of your woven.
Of that same fabric or
some quilt, other
quilting cotton is great.
Quilting, okay.
I think it's really funny because I used to always line my pockets with some crazy fabric I had. And it wasn't always cotton, but I would make my lining a lot of times. Like, I'd make a pair of slacks, is what we called them in those days, or trousers, and I would put maybe a satin lining, and my pockets would be satin or something, and it would feel really good. And now everybody's putting their quilting cottons, that's another thing I rarely used was lining fabric.
Okay, so. So you can use a quilting cotton or something else. The cotton organdy does have that special stiffening, to it, which is great. All right. Let's move on to a stretch woven fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the Morris blazer or a pair of jeans.
Okay.
Okay. When I make the ginger jeans,
mm-hmm.
the fly area was, supposed to be interfaced.
Uh-huh.
I cut out the shape of the interfacing.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on the fly and continued on.
And you used cotton organdy.
Actually, I think I used a quilting cotton.
You used a quilting cotton. Okay.
What did you use in your
waistband? Did you use anything?
I didn't because I made the high-waisted.
Uh-huh.
And she mentions this. She says, you can or you don't have to, but it's kind of nice and softer.
Well,
if you don't. Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was going to bring up. So you get that stretch denim, and you don't want to lose that.
Yes.
No, it's not a big stretch, but especially around your waist with jeans, they can be some stiff stuff, right?
Yeah.
Where you want to put, you can just put interfacing where the button is.
Yeah.
And where, you can just take 2 inches on each side of your waistband and do the interfacing there, just at the ends.
Okay, so that's like so smart. So you could just place fabric there. We're just placing the fabric, the quilting cotton or the cotton organdy on top of that.
Right.
Morris blazer. This is very important. Okay. This is where we're going to get into the knits and stuff. And you're really going to have to apply your thinking. You're going to put on your thinking caps. Okay. The Morris blazer is meant to be made of a stretch woven, or people make it out of like a ponte knit,
right,
or something like that. And you are supposed to interface the lapel,
mm-hmm,
and that pattern piece sort of connects around the hem. Okay,
yes.
You know, it all, uh-huh, comes around, right, if people are visualizing. And the cuffs. Did I, uh-huh, say cuffs? Sorry if I already did.
I don't think you did.
Okay. I cut out my lapel and my hem facings out of my stretchy woven or my ponte or whatever. I just cut it out with some quilting cotton because I didn't have cotton organdy. I could have used cotton organdy.
Right.
Okay. So I just cut those out at the same time and used them. This part of the garment didn't need to stretch. Okay.
Right.
The lapel did not need to stretch. The cuffs do not need to stretch.
As well as
the hem.
As a collar.
Yes.
On any knit garment.
Yes.
It usually does not need to stretch.
So you need to think, oh, this is my knit garment. It is supposed to be interfaced somewhere. Is that somewhere supposed to stretch? If no, you may use cotton organdy, right, or any woven almost.
Well, here's the thing. What they will sell you,
yeah,
to interface your knit garment with is a tricot, a fusible tricot.
Yeah.
And it stabilizes your garment.
Yes.
It does not stretch. Once you get the glue on the garment, it doesn't stretch.
See, that's the,
it,
yes,
may, you may think it stretches a little bit more than the cotton, and it probably does. But once you fuse, you have limited your stretch.
And a garment maker won't tell you to generally interface something that, you know, needs to stretch.
No.
Okay.
No. You don't do that.
So
if you need to line, uh-huh, like a t-shirt, say,
yes,
say it's really thin.
Yes.
Then you use two layers of fabric.
Right.
Okay. The same type of fabric. It might not be the exact same fabric, but you know, for instance, I'm in the middle of making a costume, right? And we decided that the red sparkly fabric might just be a little bit thin when it's stretched,
right?
Right? That you might see a little bit see-through. So I have a flesh-ish color.
Yeah.
I don't know who would have this color flesh, but
it's some kind of...
It's a brownish something.
Brown beige opaque fabric.
Yes. You know, but it's a spandex. And
it's kind of gray.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a funny color. Kind of like maybe if someone died, that would be,
yeah,
their
it would
skin
be like
color.
A dead person. Yeah.
But it works very well on a lot of skin tones as, you know, that piece between the skin and the fabric. It doesn't change the color.
It's a light blocker.
Right. It,
yeah,
doesn't tend to change the color. So it basically acts the same. I put them together,
yeah,
you know, and stretched them together to see what it was like. So I will now use that as a lining.
Okay, and then we were coming up against someone, not against, but coming up on a situation in the group that someone had shared, and they were supposed to interface, I believe, part of a V-neck of a top.
Right.
It's knit.
Right.
Okay, it's a stretchy garment.
I believe it was right where the V
is. Just mm-hmm, at the V, you know, put interfacing,
right,
there. I don't have any, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And we said that we would...
Cotton organdy.
Or use another piece of the knit,
Too. Another piece, or anything.
Anything.
Almost anything that you... As long as it wasn't too heavy and interfered with what you were doing.
It's just supposed to keep the fabric stable as,
right,
you sew that V.
Right.
So that it stays a V.
That's right.
I mean, it really... I don't want to say interfacing is completely unnecessary, but...
Well, not in real constructed garments or, you know... We used, you know, when I grew up sewing, I made wool dresses. I can think of this red and gray and white plaid wool dress I made.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And it buttoned all the way down the front. It was kind of like a coat dress. And,
yep,
it had a big, huge white collar on it. With God knows what that fabric was I made that collar out of, because it wasn't wool.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I don't remember. I believe it was some sort of woven. Maybe it was a polyester. I don't know. And I had white cuffs.
Yes.
Okay. Which had buttons. And these were big buttons. Okay. So quarter size or bigger, or
mm-hmm,
half dollar size-ish, whatever. And I interfaced all the way down the front of that.
Mm-hmm.
I interfaced that collar because it was a big, what I would call like a platter collar.
Yeah.
Okay. And I interfaced those sleeves. The cuffs. So I needed all that with that dress. That's the way it looked. I didn't want it to droop. I wanted this collar to be stiff looking.
What did you use for interfacing?
I believe at the time I used like a cotton. Just a
fabric.
I'm thinking like what we used to call a broadcloth.
So you didn't...
I did not know about cotton organdy yet.
No, but you didn't use an interfacing product, I guess.
Used them before that.
Yeah, but not
okay?
on this.
I can remember using them, and I can remember them peeling off. Now, they're probably much improved compared to what they were then.
Yeah.
But I remember early on being very, very dissatisfied. I also remember making a white blouse one time, and the glue turned yellow.
Oh, gosh.
And you could see it. Yeah, and this was really a blouse that I really wound up liking.
Yeah.
You know, and the collar... I don't think anybody else, maybe nobody else could see it. I tried to wear it a couple times, you know, and then I wound up dyeing it or something.
Yeah.
Because you could see the, it never was right after that because it ruined what I wanted.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
And then this is where, I mean, we're not trying to say all this to be like clever
right.
or to, you know, say like, oh, if you use interfacing, you're wrong.
Right.
But we've come up against some real problems.
Well, I needed that interfacing all the way down the front of that dress, you know, both the right and the left side, because it buttoned. It
yeah.
truly was a functional button thing. And these were big buttons. And so I needed it to hold on the button. I'm sure I backed the button too. But, you know, I needed that interface. There was no placket.
Yes.
It was just folded
over.
Right.
I understand, yeah.
And I believe that was the first garment where I learned to also put snaps between each button space.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was gapping on me when I would sit down.
I think that there might be a couple of questions regarding just like the physicality of this or the actual process. You know, you said you cut out your interfacing pieces with your garment pieces, mm-hmm. you know, as often as possible. But when you are going to just interface like an itty bitty bit, like
right.
a little bit of the V, you know, just that little V part on the neckline, or you said just put interfacing right where you're going to have your buttonhole and your button mm-hmm. on your waistband. Do you finish that raw edge that might not get sewn? Do you understand?
Well, I don't.
On the waistband?
Well, I don't because it should be enclosed.
It's going to all ravel. Be enclosed.
It okay. shouldn't ravel.
All right. I have...
Now, on that dress, I uh-huh. do not have a serger. I specifically remember putting a tiny hem on the edge
yes.
of that underneath, you know, between the front folded over.
Yes.
So, you know, folded back. And I remember putting it because it wasn't really enclosed.
Uh-huh.
Now, what was funny is I never washed that. It was like
right.
a dry cleaner.
It's a coat, yeah.
It probably would have been all
coat
right.
Uh-huh.
But I do remember putting a tiny hem on, and I remember wondering, I hope this doesn't show, you know, and it didn't. But my wool was heavy enough.
So if everything is going to get enclosed, you know, you can just put that on there. Or on
right.
that V-neck, you know, I bet that V gets sewn
mm-hmm.
and then it gets like flipped over.
Well, and if it's a knit, I'm
whatever.
Certainly not going to worry about it.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, you can actually, sometimes you can trim
right.
that a little bit, you know.
Right.
So if you do have a, you know, an area where it might be seen or something.
Right.
I can't remember a specific example right now, but I just want to say I have sometimes finished that edge of the
interfacing. Oh, no. I've serged that edge. Especially when
it, or...
Yes. Especially, like I said, when it's not enclosed
yes.
for some reason. I've also serged it to the edge of
the
piece
yes.
before.
So I can't remember.
I'm trying to think too. Maybe I would do that. I'm trying to think that maybe I've done that like on a costume piece,
yes.
especially like a waistband
uh-huh.
where the finish is going. That if
right.
you, because I'm not going to worry about turning that under and making it pretty. This is, you know, I made 44 skirts or whatever.
So you're just top stitching and there's a serged edge
yeah,
inside.
Yeah, there's kind of a serged edge left. And I've serged those together.
On the Morris blazer, when you put the lapel on,
mm-hmm.
okay, you're supposed to finish the raw edge of the
lapel.
Interfaced
uh-huh.
pattern piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course,
right.
my cotton organdy is just there with
right.
my
right.
piece and it gets serged
right.
and top stitched at the same
so
time.
So if you didn't
so.
Have a serger,
uh-huh.
you know, you're going to have to do something like, straight stitch it together or
and
then zigzag or something.
So just in case anyone has a question about like that practical aspect of it, you know, you just think about, will it be seen? Will it ravel? Mm-hmm. Is it enclosed? Da-da-da. And like I said, I don't want to say you can use almost any woven because, of course, there's a broad spectrum of wovens. Right. But sometimes quilting cotton, or we had, what was that bolt of fabric we had around that was some like highly starched cotton? It was like a floral.
Oh, that was a damask, a cotton damask.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. No, it was like a quilting cotton, and it was really stiff. I think it's in my Morris blazer.
Was it that calico print thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that was.
What is that? It was Miracle Cool Fabric.
Yeah.
It's so ugly, but it's worked great.
It really was. That's why we used it for interfacing, because it was kind of, we thought it was ugly.
Also, you mentioned, I said maybe we shouldn't talk about this in this podcast, and now I'm bringing it up. You said, oh, should we talk about interfacing with bags?
Right.
And things
like that. Accessories.
Accessories.
Things like that.
The one thing I want to bring up that I've learned is often when making a bag, if I use, and we've mentioned this before.
We have. If I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, if I use a heavier fabric like denim or something, I don't need to interface.
Or home deck.
Yeah, home deck. Oh, that's where we did it, in the Zigzagger broadcast.
Uh-huh.
In Accessory Month. Okay, so if I use a denim to make a bag, oftentimes I feel I don't have to interface.
Right.
I think when you make a garment, use interfacing. By that, I would be using a cotton organdy or something like that. That's what I mean. Like, I tried to make a couple of things, garments, let's say like the Morris blazer, out of a denim and not interface. And it just... it's not that it broke down or got real soft. It just didn't hold quite the same
shape.
It
didn't give you the shape.
The shape. It was the look more than anything.
And here's another thing that I think people might come across is that you have like a button placket. And when you add the interfacing to the button placket, it becomes too thick.
So now
all of a sudden you have all these different layers,
Yes.
That you're going to top stitch through, say, or something. So on that instance, I may just cut a strip of cotton organdy and put it down the middle of my placket. And this is where I would use the spray adhesive, probably.
Yeah,
so that I know that my buttonhole winds up laying on that interfacing, but it winds up not being in my seam. So if you're worried about bulk in your seam, sometimes you'll have to think about cutting inside of your seam lines or your top stitch lines.
I had the button placket on my sheer shirt dress.
Yes.
So it ended up being some more layers because I had to line it actually. Like, so I had the sheer black fabric and then I had black satin.
Right.
Okay. And then I still felt like I wanted something stiff in there. So this button placket gets folded over like four, you know, kind of into quarters almost. So instead of cutting the cotton organdy the full width and folding it into quarters, I think I cut it like about half.
Right.
So, yes.
Right. So that you didn't have so many foldovers, so to speak.
That's a great point.
Right,
for that. And that's kind of how we make purse straps, right?
Right, right.
Which that video is on YouTube. So Sam linked to the perfect purse strap video where we, you know, put batting in a quarter of the strap or something like that.
So it's only half the width of your original strip that you cut, so to speak.
Yeah. So I've skipped. So like I said, I've skipped interfacing in bags and felt fine.
Right.
When I use a fabric with a lot of body. But even if you're going to make yourself like a heavy canvas, you know, something or other, and you think, oh, this canvas is so very strong or whatever.
Sturdy, whatever.
It doesn't quite do the same thing, and you're wearing it, you're not carrying it. It's, it's different than a bag.
You have to just think of all those things. And do you care if the bag is structured or not structured?
Yeah, you won't regret putting a layer of cotton organdy into that lapel in order to make it stiff. And I've heard some people say, I think the cotton organdy is too stiff
for my lapel.
So I've sewn up some
before.
That
surprises me,
Yeah, I've sewn up some before and thought, my, this is awful stiff. But then the collar stands up nicely on my, when I'm wearing it. And man,
well,
if you
we've
felt
all,
the collar
and we've
on a
also,
shirt from the store.
We've also gotten the pictures and the post of, oh, look, I used cotton organdy. It was really nice till I washed it. Now look what it looks like. and they have not pressed
it. Yeah,
you got to press it. And you probably, you know, you would have to press it no matter what was in it.
Right.
But because it's going to crinkle, especially if you dry it.
It'll get
crinkly.
If you put the collared shirt in the dryer, right, like the whole time, you know, it's not going to come
out crinkly,
looking
puckery,
straight.
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that explains interfacing products, why we don't use them. We've got what's interesting is we have a shelf of interfacing, and up there is some bolt of Pellon something or other that I think we brought home from the shop.
Those were used for costumes.
Okay, they were used for costumes, but there is some horsehair.
There's some horsehair
fabric,
and we use that in wool suiting.
Yes, so it is a bolt of fabric,
but it is much, much sturdier than your cotton organdy.
Yeah, so it's a bolt of fabric, and it says on the end of it, like, fiber content 100% hair.
So what your Pellon interfacing that doesn't have glue on it is really good for, is you can cut it up into little squares, and you can use it to remove your fingernail polish because it does not have, cotton ball will have the little
fibers.
And fibers, and it has no fiber.
Well, we can say goodbye to a Pellon sponsorship, I guess.
Oh,
you know,
well.
Right?
Pellon makes more than just that.
Yes, they do.
No, you can cut it up and use it for your fingernails.
You
I'm telling you.
Here you go.
I'm telling you.
So, and up there, too, is like some black mesh fabric,
right,
you know, on that shelf.
That's
so
right.
You know, we do mix our interfacings there, but don't let your mind or your sewing practice be limited
right
by and, what you think
and
interfacing
like I
is.
Said I have used sewing interfacing, or I have used interfacing when it has come to some sort of costume, and one of the reasons was cost.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was making 100 costumes.
Yeah.
And it needed to be like this. And they were, you know, the costume thing is so hard because you put hours and hours into a costume that gets worn for 4 minutes.
It's a balance. You know, you want it to last. You don't want to spend too terribly much time
so
on
that,
it.
So that was from costume stock stuff. That is what that was from.
Okay. Well, I think that this was a good episode about interfacing.
I hope everyone enjoyed it.
I hope people like it. I can't tell you. You know, you think it's boring, but a lot of people wanted it.
No, a lot of people want to know about it. Like I said, I'd rather be sewing sparkly.
Okay, everybody. You can find us on Instagram. We're at ZD Sewing Studio. And find our Facebook page, ZD Sewing Studio, and go like it. And you'll be notified when we go live and do fun stuff like that.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com. Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.